Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Pleasant day to you, and super delighted that you can join us on today's edition of Africa Weekly live on Radio Africana. It's Manchester's grand audit numero uno platform. I'm broadcasting from Manchester to the world. Well, on Africa Weekly, we dwell on topical issues as it affects and reflects the African continent. As the current affairs segment, which is a bit of hard news, then we get a chance to broaden the horizon on the continent with our culture and tourism segments. There's also entertainment. What is life without entertainment? As they say, all walk and no play makes everyone pretty dull. And as I often reference it, the toy department of life, that's sport, it's just a potpourri on Africa Weekly. Welcome again. I'm Emmanuel Atim. Chris Okunowa is out on the field ensuring that we do stay on air. We go on a break. It's a musical interlude. When we return, we begin.
Thank you. Why boasted thyself, O evil man? Playing smart and not being clever. Oh no, I say you're working iniquity to achieve vanity. Yeah. If I so, I so. But the goodness of Jah Jah, I endure it forever. If you are the big tree, we are the smallest. Sharpened to cut you down.
Well sharp.
Ready to cut you down. Shall fall in it, shall fall in it. Whosoever diggeth a pit shall bury in it, shall bury in it. If you are a big tree, we are the smallest. Sharpen to cut you down.
Robert Nesta, Marley and the Wailers, Small Axe. It's a legendary tune if you are one who are big into reggae music. It was something he had to do. The Wailers just had to put out that. It's what they call a diss track back in the day. Yeah, just saying, if you are a big tree, we are the Small Axe. And you know, if it's pretty sharpened, you know what Small Axe does to trees. Welcome back, Africa Weekly on Radio Africana from Manchester to the world. Let's get our tit into it. The current affairs segment always sets us off on the broadcast. And today we begin with the reports coming through from Nigeria. It affects the gentleman who is often tagged as the separatist leader of the secessionist group Biafra. His name is Nnamdi Kanu, but if you may, Mazi Nnamdi Kanu. Just some hours back, the Federal High Court in the capital of the country, Abuja, had to set a date for judgment as it affects his terrorism case, and they say it's going to be November 20th. He's been detained since God knows how long. The leader of the indigenous people of Biafra, if you just want an abbreviation, IPOB. And the reason why they had to somewhat expedite this decision is because Mazi Nnamdi Kanu declined to present his defense, despite being granted what are considered 6 consecutive days to do so. It was pretty dramatic on Friday. Kanu had to file a motion arguing that terrorism is no longer an offense in Nigeria. He also contended that the Terrorism Prevention and Prohibition Act had been repelled. He went on to maintain that there were no valid charges against him and urged the court to dismiss the case order and also just effect his release. The motion also sought to expunge his earlier not guilty plea and set aside all subsequent proceedings, calling them in legal terms now a nullity. Well, interestingly though, the federal government, they do have a counsel. His name is Adegboyega Awomolo. That's it. He opposed the motion, saying no counter affidavit was necessary and also had to urge the court to just rely on existing record. He went in to emphasize that Nnamdi Kanu was just a gentleman who was simply refusing to enter a defense and that the trial had been conducted lawfully. The justice himself, James Omotosho, in his ruling, had to note that the case, which initially was filed in 2015, had faced multiple delays, but also received accelerated hearing in his courts. He went in to reiterate that no preliminary objections will be entertained at this stage. He also emphasized that the court had ensured a fair hearing, granting numerous adjournments at Kanu's request, and even personally appealing to him in God's name to present his defense. They cited the Supreme Court authorities. The judge held that a defendant who fails to utilize the opportunity for a fair hearing cannot later claim denial of that right. So somehow Nnamdi Kanu have exhausted all his the opportunity he has to file a defense. So the days granted him by the courts exhausted. So now the court saying, okay, we just have to make this decision, and they've fixed November the 20th for judgment, which if that day comes and a verdict is made, it bring the long-running case to a resolution. So no one knows if on the 20th of November he would be charged guilty for terrorism or he's going to be let go. That's a very significant day, not just for Mazen Nnamdi Kanu, but also for Nigeria, because this is a man who is the face of that movement called, well, modern day Biafra. Away from Nigeria, now we'll keep you abreast. Let's head to France. I was going to say France. Well, the French are involved in this news, but we're in Mali at the moment. The United States, the United Kingdom, have all urged their citizens to leave Mali. That's a fact. Okay, this was reported also. I think Chris emphasized on it on the broadcast the last time out. So France have also joined these European countries, as I mentioned, and the United States to advise every single national of the country to exit. I wish I could say exit in France, but just leave Mali. They've warned all of them, and even those who have got intentions to make the switch or travel to the West African nation. And they've emphasized that all nationals have to depart as soon as possible. That's simply because they consider the security situation in Mali not calm, not good, not one they want to be a part of. The French Foreign Ministry had to make this statement, and the urgent warning comes as jihadist violence intensifies. They 14 Malian civilians reported killed in recent days somewhere in Lere. The security and economy crisis has been largely driven by the Al-Qaeda link group for the support of Islam and Muslims, Jenim, which had imposed a crippling blockade on fuel imports, and a country without accessible systems, the economy will be paralyzed, and that's what's momentarily happening in Mali. The escalating violence has forced the state to close schools and universities nationwide. Access to electricity has also become severely compromised, which are the consequences that a dire humanitarian and security predicament is on the rise. So for anyone who's a French national, your government's officials are saying it's time for you to leave Mali. The United States, of course, the United Kingdom, have also urged its citizens to leave the country. Well, Mali is too beautiful, but at the time, as we speak, it's not in the best state. Well, speaking of a country not in the best political state, is Cameroon. Paul Biya is the president of the country. I think he's the oldest president in the entire world. I stand corrected. I mean, he's 92 years, Paul Biya. He's called for calm and has also pledged to restore order as he was sworn in just some days back following a disputed election. After the election were conducted, deadly protests followed after he was announced that he had won an eighth term in office. Eight. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eighth term in office. He's 92. And he said, and I quote, that I appeal to everyone's sense of responsibility. I'm addressing all those who are working to incite hatred and violence in our country, particularly some of our compatriots in the diaspora. The words of Paul Biya, not the words of Emmanuel Atim. He also went on to say, Cameroon does not need a post-election crisis with potentially dramatic consequences, as has been seen elsewhere. I tell you why, because opposition leaders and supporters say the election was rigged. They are not mincing words, they're very categorical with that remark, and they've blamed Paul Biya, who's the president of Cameroon, for the problems going, or bedeviling, that's the right word to use, bedeviling the nation. There's been widespread international criticism of violent crackdown by security forces on the demonstrations. As expected, he wins the election, he's commander in chief of all of the armed forces, so if you're anti-Paul Biya, you get victimized, and it's been going on. Data from two United Nations sources estimates that 48 civilians were killed during the protest, while the government says at least 5 people died. So you've got the Cameroonian government saying it's just 5 people died, and you've got data from the United Nations saying about 48. The disparity, 548. It's crazy. Well, in Paul Biya's inauguration speech, the world's, yeah, I knew I wasn't wrong when I said it, the world's oldest ruler blamed irresponsible politicians and the diaspora for inciting unrest. He promised to stay faithful to the confidence of the Cameroonian people, and he's vowed to work for a united, stable and prosperous country. Just to lay emphasis on the situation in Cameroon, top court declared him winner of the election that took place on the 27th of last month, 53.66% of the vote, ahead of his former ally who eventually had to turn challenger, Issa Chirume Bakari, who scored, according to the court, 35.19%. But in those on the streets saying no, that percentage for Paul Biya actually belongs to Chirume Bakari. And the consequence of that was protest in several parts of Cameroon days after the election, followed by a 3-day lockdown this week after the opposition leader Chirume had claimed victory and alleged vote tampering. He's the oldest president in the world, Paul Biya, 90. I've got to be exact with that number now. Yeah, that's right. So 92 years. It's got, I was going to say it's got 8 years more. No, Paul, you could live longer than that. All right, because Nigeria isn't far from Cameroon. I do not want to be wanted. So I was going to say he potentially wants to stay in power for over 100 years. That would be some record. Only a life in biblical terms. He came into power in 1982, following the resignation of Cameroon's first president. And since 1982, he's ruled following a 2008 constitutional amendment that abolished term limits. So he's going to be there until he dies, in a nutshell. Okay, and this is me just being as blunt as I can be. His health has been a topic of speculation. He spent most of his time in Europe, living governance, of course, the key party officials and family members, the result of his nearly half century in power, have been mixed, you know, being insurgencies in both the north, Garoua. It's a beautiful place, but I say beautiful, I was there during the African Cup of Nations some years back, and that's where the Nigerian team were housed and had, you know, quite the great performance. But now it's pretty much an ISO. And then you've got the west part of the country where loads of interesting situations going down. The economy have been classified as being stagnant, and young people without jobs. Nothing seems perfect in Cameroon, and you've got a 92-year-old who's refused to leave power. Okay, well, away from Cameroon, Let's head to South Sudan. It's a remark made by the United States. It affects the country. They are terminating South Sudan's designation for temporary protected status, which for years has allowed people from the East African country to stay in the United States legally and escape armed conflict back home. So this will be effective from January the 5th. The Department of Homeland Security put this out in a statement after conferring with interagency partners. Secretary of Homeland Security Christy Noon determined that conditions in South Sudan no longer meet the TPS statutory requirements. So they're saying, well, South Sudanese nationals who use the Customs and Border Protection mobile app to report the departure could receive a complimentary plane ticket, a $1,000 exit bonus, and potential future opportunities for legal immigration. So they're saying, okay, go back to your country. There's no more war there. Very sensitive, America. Very sensitive. Still talking about the United States, and they're often involved in action. Some days back, they want to invade Nigeria. Christians are being killed. Donald Trump doesn't like it. Some say, oh, Trump, hush. You just want to take natural resources. It's not my day to give an opinion. What I'm here to say is that the United States have come out through its President Donald Trump to say they will not attend the G20 summit. Why is this news in Africa Weekly? It's simple. The G20 summit will take place in South Africa. And Trump is saying, this is a sham. It's a shame. Who approved this? And he's saying, it's a total disgrace that South Africa is hosting a meeting. It's an opportunity where world leaders, as they are called, those who are in charge of the largest economies in the world, gather to have a discussion. It's like a secret court, but it's not. It's just politicians dictating situations, and it's supposed to go, it will go down in Johannesburg later this month. The foreign ministry has described the decision by the White House as, and I quote, regrettable. None of South Africa's political parties, including those who represent Afrikaners and the white community in general, have claimed that there is an ongoing genocide in South Africa. But Donald Trump says, hey, no, I might be in the White House, but you're killing Afrikaners, he's saying. So if you're doing that, I'm not coming to South Africa. He posted on a social media platform, Truth Social, saying it's a total disgrace that the G20 will be held in South Africa. Afrikaners are being killed and slaughtered, and their land and farms are being illegally confiscated. But those who are in South Africa are saying, Donald Trump, it's not happening. Okay, come to South Africa. Let's welcome you. And you see the Afrikaners are in charge. Well, in a nutshell. But the U.S. government official will attend as long as these human rights abuses continue. He's saying, interesting that after South Africa hosts the G20 summit, the next country to host will be the United States. Let's see if the South Africans have balls to decline going then, saying because the United States refused. But I don't think they will. They have no qualms about the policy in the U.S. So, but this is quite sensitive where you've got the country saying nothing of such to the United States president, but he's still adamant that there is a situation going down. It's incredible. Earlier, we know the incident between the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, in May, and Donald Trump at the Oval. Every year, a different member state hosts the G20 and sets the agenda for the summit. The U.S. due to take its turn after South Africa. The South African Foreign Ministry said in a statement that the government wishes to state for the record that the characterization of Afrikaners as an exclusive white group is a historical. It's past. It shouldn't be done. Okay, let's squeeze in one more before we go on a break. This has to do with Tanzania. It's a beautiful tourist destination, but for now, halt your triple. There's a situation going down, post-election crisis, and there will always be backlash. At least 240 people have been charged with treason. Treason. That's the highest form, I believe. After Tanzania's election, the court in Tanzania had to make this official. President Samia Suluhu Hassan was declared the winner of the election with 98% of the vote. But the opposition, which was barred from contesting, denounced the poll as a sham. Security forces had to clash with protesters. those who were against the vote, and you know, lots of sources saying hundreds were killed. But the authorities have downplayed the scale of the violence and maintained the election was free and fair. Well, lots of people arrested have now been charged with treason at a court in the economic capital of Dar es Salaam. They were not asked to enter a plea in court, so according to a charge sheet seen by the BBC, who are reporting the story, the defendants are accused of inciting demonstrations with intention of obstructing the election. They could receive the death penalty if they're found guilty. That's how severe it is. However, in Tanzania, the majority of those sentenced to death eventually just have their sentence commuted to life in jail. The East African nation's last execution took place way back in the 90s. So they might find them guilty and send them to jail to rot. It's as good as gone for them. Well, it's halt's hard news for now. Current affairs, lots of incident going on the African continent. I think it's just perfect time for us to oil our glands. When we return, we'll tell you about the beauty of the continents in our culture and tourism segment. Majek Odumi Fashaki, of course, globally known as Majek Fashak, with an eternal classic, Holy Spirit. I think the African continent needs some Holy Spirit baptism. In terms of the politics, you look at the entertainment scene, it's so much glamour and delight. You look at sports, of course, success everywhere. The Moroccan under 17 side, the 20 team actually, were crown champions bounce back, but in terms of the politics, it's neither here nor there. Welcome back, Africa Weekly on Radio Africana this fine Saturday. It's the 8th of November 2025. Emmanuel Atim in the studio as always. Salutations, of course, to the man who's punching all the right buttons, Jora. Let's fill you in terms of tourism. That's the segment now where we celebrate, and this is proper celebration. I say this because South Africa, they've achieved a significant milestone this year. About 7,634,261 international tourists visited the country. The reason why this figure is significant is because it's a record-breaking increase of 1,108,222. They do have data to back this up. That's a huge significant increase, and they're celebrating it. It's a remarkable surge, not only one which underscores, of course, the recovery of the tourism sector, but most experts are saying it also reflects the country's growing stature as a global tourism destination. The figures confirm South Africa's strong resurgence in the global tourism market following the challenges posed by the bloody pandemic in 2020 and other global disruptions, like Trump saying that they're killing Africans out there. But they're celebrating it. Tourism officials, they had to put out a statement saying this figures not only signal a booming tourism sector, but also shows the vital contribution tourism is making to the country's economy. The numbers confirm that Africa's tourism industry is not just recovering but thriving. They say they hope to continually make substantial stride, which would help, you know, continue to attract international tourists, and tourism continues to play a critical role in driving economic growth. It's just a nutshell of the statement put out by the South African Tourism Group. So it's delightful for them. The rise in international arrivals come at a time when South African government continue to work diligently to boost the tourism sector as part of its broader economic recovery plans. The officials also pointed out that the positive impact of tourism on the national economy cannot be overstated. It's created numerous job opportunities, also boosted local economies, and significantly played a key role in revitalization of various industries. You're talking hospitality, you're talking entertainment, you're talking transportation. It's surely proven to be one of the fastest growing sectors in South Africa in recent years, and importantly, its contribution to the nation's gross domestic product GDP is significant. So congratulations, South Africa. In September 2025, they saw a very impressive number, 846,367, which reflects about 26.9% increase from the same month in 2024. So every single year getting better. Congrats to them. Well, two African countries have been ranked among the world's top wildlife destination. I don't know why they're not number one though, but the United States is the top country for wildlife travel. They've scored 90.5 out of 100. Did they read this? I don't think they did though. Thanks to its extensive protected natural areas. Brazil comes second, the score of 90.2. Of course, in Brazil, they've got the largest number of wildlife species and many national parks. Colombia, a third with a score of 85.5, recognized for its strong megafauna conservation effort and protected natural areas. Australia obviously will be there. They fought, they scored 82.1. They boast the most national parks globally, and you've got a diverse range of wildlife species. And when you talk about the top African on the list, or African country, it's Tanzania. Yes, the same Tanzania, with 81.8 out of 100, excelling in megafauna conservation and endangered species diversity. So we celebrate the African nations ranked among the world's top wildlife destination. Well, let's head to Chad and just celebrate, as we often do when we talk culture and tourism, let you in on a tribe and how, you know, very productive they are, and historical too, just in case you're thinking of a route and just want to see one of those. It's somewhere in the northern part, not central to be specific, not central part of Africa, and we are making reference to no other but the Sara. They are an agricultural people, rely heavily on crops like cotton, taro, yams, and sweet potatoes as staples. I'm saying this because they are the largest ethnic group in Chad. They are very, very rich in terms of the culture. They historically, you have the women, and they're playing integral roles, as they often do. They typically organize. They very important to how the system works there. In terms of the denomination, predominantly they are Christian. They also practice traditional animist religions related to nature and spiritual ancestry. Social structure is very communal, the Sara people of Chad. And when it comes to food, as I mentioned, they do like the yams. They also have what they call a bule. It's porridge made from millet or maize. It's a common national dish which you get them serving as a bowl with various sauces containing meat, dried fish, vegetables. Anytime I talk about a tribe and I get to the food section, I just get hungry. In terms of livestock, there's cattle, sheep, goats, chicken, raised, with goat meat being the most common. When you talk beverages, it's gala or bilibili. It's a homemade beer which is made from millet or sorghum. It's very, very popular in the south where the Sara live. And in terms of music, they are very, very musical. That's right, musically inclined, that's it. They do use traditional instruments. They've got what they call a balafon. It's a wooden xylophone. They also do have the whistle, the harp, and the kojo drums. It's just happy people, the Sara people of Chad. Who are, by the way, the largest in terms of the ethnic group there, accounts for approximately 30.5% of the population. Yeah, so if you may, you could also go there and say you want to see the Sara people, or the Ngambaye, or the Mjangaye, or the Mbaye. You're making reference to the ethnic group there, and home to more than 200 distinct ethnic groups out there in Chad. So, well, that's the much we can take as it has to do with the culture and tourism segment on Africa Weekly. When we return, it will be an opportunity for us to talk entertainment. Oh, the list of the Grammy is out. We'll share with you which Nigerian artist made the list, which didn't.
Sorry. lifting. Every loser, inhibition, celebration, it surrounds us. Every nation, all around us. Singing forever young, singing songs underneath the sun. Let's rejoice in the beautiful game, and together at the end of the day, we all said when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a wave. And when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a wave. And flag, so wave your flag, now wave your flag, now wave your flag. Oh, build them, unify us, make us feel proud. In the streets our heads are lifting. And we lose our inhibition, celebration, it surrounds us. Every nation, all around us. Sing forever young, singing songs underneath the sun. Let's rejoice in the beautiful getting. And together at the end of the day, we all said, when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a wave. And when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a wave. And flag, so wave your flag, now 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 wave your flag.
Perfect tune if the next conversation was sports, but hey, that's how we always have the surprise element on Africa Weekly. Welcome back. It is live in Radio Africana from Manchester to the world. Whatever application you find, you can download radio stations. Yeah, just search Africa Weekly. No, search Radio Africana, that's right. And then you can listen to Africa Weekly. Welcome back. Let's talk entertainment, and you can see the excitement in my voice. Nigerians doing great things. But before I tell you about the greatness of Nigerian artists, this is a bit of a downer. It has to do with an African actress, filmmaker. She's beautiful, but now not too, just because of how much torture she's going through. That's it. Her name is Regina Daniels, by the way. She's come out to urge Nigerians to stop insulting her mother, Rita Daniels, saying, please, so. And this is simply because she's got this marital issue with the husband, who's a big deal in Nigeria. His name is Senator Ned Nwoko. She had to post a video during the course of the week on Instagram, clarifying that she didn't get married to Ned Nwoko out of greed. Said her family had initially advise her against the union. So the main essence of her video is to tell everyone to please stop insulting the mom. For some reason, she feels like she owes everyone an explanation, because I don't know why everyone is in pain about my life, her words, but I don't feel like you all are pain from a bad side. You're in pain because you used your 200-500 Naira to buy my CD. And that's right, we pretty much saw her grow in the movie industry. She's saying, what is happening to me now is very sad, is disturbing, but her mom has always been her bestie. She's the best woman on earth, she said. She is. She won me. My brothers won me. Everybody won me. And then I drove out at night. I was gonna, you know, just take her life, she said, if she didn't marry this gentleman who has momentarily turned her life upside down. So she's just saying, please do not castigate my family members. We're not castigating now, we're celebrating, even if the words begin with a C. Let's talk about the Grammy nominations. It's official. Nigerian artists leading the Mark Bonaboy, Davido, Wizkid, Ayra Starr, all bagged Grammy nominations, and it's the 68th edition, yeah. But the nominees have been made official, and you know, when you talk Afrobeats, Nigeria lead the pack. Bonaboy, David, Ayra Starr, Omalé, all shortlisted. So it's another reminder that this genre is Nigeria's. I'm just teasing, but yes, it is. And for Nigeria, it's a sign, of course, that stars are shaping global music conversations like never before. Let's talk about the list. The best African music performance Grammy nominees. You've got Burna Boy, Love. With You, of course, has to be there. Davido featuring Omalé. Something from Eddie Kenzo. It's one of my favorite artists. And Meron Martin. It's called Hope and Love. And then you have Gimme That, Ayra Starr featuring Wizkid. Push to Start by Tyler. Burna Boy also gets the chance to break through beyond Africa focus recognition. He's landed himself a nomination in the Best Global Music Album for his 2025 album, No Sign of Weakness. And this is a man whose ability to blend global rhythms with African storytelling continues to earn him that shot at another Grammy. I'm saying another because Twice as Tall won the Grammy some years back, not sure of the year. Yeah, 2021, Jora says so. I didn't say it, it's the producer who's saying 2021. So yes, he's trying to win again this time, so let's see if that happens. But he's up against Yusun, it's a legend, Yusun Dor. The Yusun Dor's album is called Light the World, A Clearly Mourned. There's also one from Shakti, Mind Explosion, the 15th anniversary tour. There's We Return to Light by Anshuka Shankar featuring Alam Khan and Sarati Karwa. There's also Setano Betano Al Vivo, Catena Veloso and Maria Betania. So those are great albums, but let's see if Bono can take his No Sign of Weakness strength and bring the Grammy home. Congratulations to Davido also. Gets the chance to win with You. That's a perfect germ to win a Grammy, even if I do say so myself. And Ayra Starr and Wizkid also with their own composition. So we keep you abreast with it. The 68th Annual Grammy Award will take place in 2026. And let's see how far that would go. And I think we'll win something, all right? It's just surprising that Wizkid didn't get the chance to have his album shortlisted for Album of the Year. All right, no time to waste. We've got about 5 minutes before I exit the studio. Just quickly raise, let's talk sports. We start off with the official list put out by the Nigeria Football Federation. This has to do with the players who would represent the country at the dire competition. It's a battle. This is win or bust, as they say. You've got players like Victor Osimhen and Moses Simon all called into the lineup by Super Eagles head coach Eric Shell, who's also included 89 cap midfielder Alex Iwobi. Alex at the moment is somewhere in Liverpool playing against Everton, his former team. Nigeria will take on Gabon in the first semi-final scheduled for the 22,000 capacity stadium out there in Rabat. We're talking about the players for the World Cup. This is crucial. Anyone who wins this competition between Cameroon, Gabon, Nigeria and Congo gets the chance to play the final set of qualifiers and get that ticket to play at the World Cup. So congratulations to the players invited. Let's see how far they will go. Quickly, Dash, let's share some fixtures as regards matches on the African continent. The Nigerian Premier Football League live and active as always, but just before that, I'll tell you that in the Ghanaian Premier League they also do have matches going down. Akwaaba, Hearts of Lions are up against Bekrum Chelsea. This matches are set for tomorrow. There's also one involving Hearts of Oak against Ashante Kotoko. That's a classic in Ghana. You talk El Clasico in Spain, you talk Liverpool Man United in England, you talk Ashante Kotoko, Hearts of Oak in Ghana. So it's a fixture to look forward to. Out there in Morocco, A couple of fixtures, Agave against Jitera. There's also FUS Rabat against El Jadidi. Tangier will take on Berkane. In terms of football in Nigeria, the Nigeria Premier Football League also do have a couple of fixtures to look forward to. Rangers International, this is a setup. They are up against Shooting Stars. Wicked Tories against Niger Traders. There's an Oriental Derby between Abia Warriors and Aimba International is going down in Abia State. There's also one involving Rivers United. That's a fixture for tomorrow. Kun Khalifa against Rivers United, and Warri Wolves will also play Kurudu City. These are just select fixtures as it has to do with the Nigerian Premier Football League. At the moment, the top three teams in the NPFL, or top four teams if you may, Nasarawa United, Abia Warriors, Ikorodu City and Warri Wolves. Just to scan across the top five leagues, we've got about 60 seconds to do, or just the Premier League for emphasis, since we're broadcasting from Manchester. United earlier today, lunchtime kickoff, they could have won that game at Spurs, but they had to settle for a draw, ended 2-2. Everton are leading Fulham by 2-0. West Ham United are pummeling Burnley by 3-1 about 5:30 UK time. Sunderland will take on Arsenal, and 8 p.m. later it will be Chelsea against Wolves. But as they say, this game week, the big one, takes place at 4:30 Sunday, where Manchester City play against Liverpool. Yeah, that's a classic. And also Crystal Palace earlier would host Brighton. Aston Villa against the AFC Bournemouth. So if you're a fan of the Premier League, hope your team makes you smile. And I'm hoping we've done justice to today's package in Africa Weekly, from the current affairs segment down to the culture and tourism entertainment, where we celebrated an African artist who've been shortlisted for Grammy Awards. And now talking sports, the African teams who are vying for a place at the World Cup will converge in Morocco to battle it out. Thanks so much to Jure. Salutations, of course, to Chris Okunwa, who's been kind to send in a few in-swingers. I mean, mind the lads, I'm wishing you guys a brilliant weekend. Bye for now.
What you got before a pocket, contour, my costa, I don't care what you call it. Hey. Put on your dance shoe, let me take it for 5 minutes. Raw lyrics, listen, you never can, you fit a hand. Swore be the dance, we're gonna make you go down. Tear around by Kanley, swinging your rhymes. AJ recognize Galala in no time, but in our town, swore be the brand new dance. Listen, make you smile like feeling high. Very easy, like rolling a dice. Watch your back, man, you've got to be wise. You better be alive, so no be time to fight. Let's dance the new dance, Mr. Benji, bring calm. Start on my hour. You come from pattern a pattern, Mr. Darby can't stop. Come on, let's rock, rock to the speakers, bust, bust.
Move your body, make them know you know the joke. Bend your back like say you want broke. Some man just they dance like say then get stroke. You know them with them body, you go know them don't smoke. Step aside if you know you can cope. It's very easy, but you have to use scope. Oh yeah, make you smile like a man with drink coke. For you to know the dance, learning is the only hope. Just the other day in a dance or party, in a jegule with my friend called Johnny. Beside some girls and the way they move them body like say, this walk, you know it's very easy. To the ground, we say wine to the top. Move your body like say you be rope. This one will be my cosa, so we know the joke. Galala don't go down the slope. Oh yeah, Galala know they do them again. Punto know they sweet them again. And cosa know they wound them again. Swore, now the new dance where they be. Galala know they do them again. Punto know they sweet them again. And cosa know they wound them again. Swore, now the new dance where they be. Pick up your foot, wine and we good. Bend your back like a boku, you the boku, see. Come on. Galala, konto, kiantaku. Come on. Brown, you dance, hope you settle in a medusa. And you dance, baby. Pick up your foot, wine and we good. Bend your back like a boku, you the boku, see. Come on. Galala, konto, kiantaku. Come on. Brown, you dance, hope you settle in a medusa. Hey. One to the left. and be right. To do this one, say you must be alright. Some of you control the dance like you dey fight. Make them know everything is alright. Pick up your foot and put it down. New dance, Mr. Benji, bring come. Number one, say the dance can't dance. Listen to me lyrics and listen to me song. Oh yeah, galala, no they do them again. Don't know they sweet them again. And no sound, no they woo them again. Swore, and the new dance, so they sing. Galala, no they do them again. Don't know they sweet them again. And no sound, no they woo them again. Swore, and the new dance, so they sing. Move your body, me say to the bass drum.
Come on.
Style na style, me say pattern na pattern.
Come on.
New dance where they rain for town.
Hey.
It's very easy, you know how to jump around.
Come on.
New dance, Mr. Benji bring up.
Come on.
Number one, me say born champion.
Come on.
Me na laugh with no idiot Babylon. Wake up, you take me fi fun. Me sing say, galala, no they do them again. Don't know they sweet them again. And no sound, no they wound them again. Swore na the new dance where they sing. Galala, no they do them
again.
Don't know they sweet them again. And no sound, no they wound them again. Swore na the new dance where they
sing.
Mr. Coleman, enter. Alongside my fellows, ghetto soldier. Ain't taking no paraga. In my Hennessy, homo, make me rock and go down. Big boys, oh your lala. No fear, no let, make you tear up, oh ha. Dibi them running, Babylon falling. This marvelous coming,
hey.
International, all over Africa. Junction to junction, we take it over. New dance with the new remix, new family, new record company.
Yeah,
hey.
Marvelous. We can this year, man. Give it to them. Give it to them. Give it to them. More fire. More fire.
He don't cast. Last, now everybody go to our breakfast.
Shayo, man.
Shayo,
man.
You go bow for the result, nothing to discuss, cause I think we're by default. I'm without any doubt, oh. I'm a me happy adult, oh. I know go feed the girl, I know go feed the girl, it's up, oh. I'm a mind as you be talk, oh. I put my life into my job and I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love, oh. I know holy and I know that step, oh. Like the baba fry, oh. My eye, oh. Don't cry, oh.
I need to go.
I need to go and shadow. I need to go and shadow. I need to go and shadow. Shadow. Shadow.
I need to go and shadow. I need to go and shadow. I need to go and shadow. Shadow. Shadow.
I dey put a cut from them kills over my. I dey try to buy moto, one Toyota Corolla. My feelings been dey swing like Django Lover. Feelings been dey swing like Django Lover. Now you crash your Ferrari for Lucky Bonner. Now some more to remake, that been all over. My feelings today swing like Django Lover. Feelings today swing like Timbani get you. I'm a white dog, give me Fendi suit. Why you say I did?